Okay, we are on Daf Chaf Dalet. Let's review. In order to understand this next Gemara, we have to have the previous Gemara klar, a race klar, what we said before, in order to understand the Gemara going back to it. So, the first thing you got to know is really starting back on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yaisi quoted his father, Rabbi Yaisi, as having taken 10 dried figs for Trumas Meiser on 90 other figs, which were not dried. So he took 10 dry for 90 fresh. So that's right away, and it's Chaylik on Tanakam, on an earlier Tana that said that you can't take dry on fresh because your volume is less. So the question is how to learn that. How to learn the Peshat in Rabbi Yaisi. We had a Machlaikas. The Machlaikas was Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yaisi. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that you look at the dried figs as if they're not dry. You look at them as if they're blown up. So what does he gain by that? Let me just put it out first in terms of Svara, how you could look at Rabbi Yaisi. One way to look at Rabbi Yaisi is that I don't care that it's not the same size. I don't care about volume. I care about fruit, numbers of fruit. So I have 100 fruit. I take 10 of the 9 of the 100, and it's 10% of the fruit, and I take Meiser from it. That's Trumas Meiser. That's one way to look at it. So it's in other words, what that is a number scheme. That is a number scheme. Another way to look at it is, I look at it as if not in terms of number, but as amida. It's an actual measure. Meaning I look at it as if I really took 10% of the total. That's the Shiloh. When I take the 10 Groigris, can you just do me a favor and just move over our drop because the blocking is good. Okay, perfect. You have to get this. This is important to get this point. Is the 10 dried figs just a minion game? Just 10 out of the 100, so we have 10%? Or is it an actual meter game? Mida means that I've got exactly 10% of the total. How is it possible that it's 10% of the total? It's dried out. Of course, it's not 10% of the total. Teretz is, I look at these dried figs as if they're swollen in their original state. So this is Rabbi Yirmiyah says the latter pshat. Ataroyas ha-tzameik kilo tofeach. This is what he's trying to bring across. That you look at the dried figs as if they're full. And therefore, what I really have is I have a midah. I have 10% of the total in terms of the fruit. I'm just hazarding over Chaf Gimel to understand Chaf Dalet because it's a continuation. No. Of course, it's not going to be precise. Of course, I'm not getting into the preciseness of it. You're absolutely right. It's not going to be precise. But we don't care if it's not precise because it's Trumas Meiser. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yaisi say, no, you can't say that. You're going the wrong direction. You can't go from something which is shrunk to something which is full because that's not the derech. The derech is for something that's full to dry out and become shrunken. And therefore, it's not a midah measure. It's not a hafrasha of midah. It's a hafrasha of minyan. It's just a count. I've got 10 dry figs, and that's against 90 other figs. And I don't care if they're different weights and levels of moisture. That doesn't bother me. It's not important to me. And if that's what they hold Rabbi Yaisi held. Rabbi Yaisi held that that's not an issue. And although the coin ultimately will get less volume of fruit, he's not bothered by that. Okay, so we have a very yesodistic machlokas, how to learn Rabbi Yaisi when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi quoted his father, Abba Ayamafra Shasara Ta'anim Bishrol Tishim Asara to Gregris Bishrol Tishim Ta'anim. So, okay, I just have this feeling that someone's walking in behind me. I don't know, maybe because they're walking by.
It was about 4 feet tall, maybe 3 feet tall.
Okay.
Elio on Navi.
Elio came. Oh. Okay, so that was the machlokas. Now, the Gemara then tried to say, we have this, you sold first, okay? Then the Gemara tried to explain that this is totally in another machlokas, meaning we have a machlokas, skipping straight through the, if you have dried out a nevela, it shrunk from the size of a kazayas to less than a kazayas, you're potter if you eat it in its shrunken state. If it blows back up, then you're chayev. In other words, if the rain comes and makes it blow up again, then you're chayev, right? So the Drumai Amri, the rabbis of the south, said that the only time you're chayev if it blows up is if it was originally a kazayas, shrunk down to less, and then blew up again. But if it was originally less than a kazayas, the fact that some rain landed on it and caused it to expand a little bit and swell to the size of a kazayas, you're not going to be chayev in that case. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagreed. They said, no, even in a case where it swells, you're also chayev in that case. The Gemara tried to be toila this machlokas in the machlokas of Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi. How so? That if you hold like, this is the just to get this straight again. So the rabbis of the south who said what? I'm going to read it inside because it's complicated. The rabbis of the south say that, right, unless the foods were originally the size of a kazayas, the current expansion does not help, right? That's like the view of Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi judge the volume of a dried fig not by its expanded state, but by its shrunken state. Meaning they look at the shrunken grigris in its current state, and we don't say, in its original state, it was full. No, the derech of things are to dry out, and therefore it cannot be considered like it's full. Arguing on Rabbi Yirmiyah, it cannot be a midah, it has to be a minyan, right? So they don't look at something as if it's in its swollen state, they look at it if it's in its shrunken state. So that's like, let me just finish this thing, and that's like the rabbis of the south who say that if it wasn't originally a kazayas, the fact that it currently became swollen to the size of a kazayas will not be chayev. You follow that connection?
Yeah, what they're saying is you look at what it's like now.
You look at what it's like now, correct. But yeah, it's limited though. Remember, what if you have a swollen piece of nevela, it may look like a kazayas, but they still say you're not chayev because it wasn't originally a kazayas. So it's not that simple to just say we look at it what it's now.
Oh, so they look at it now when it's shrunk, but when it's blown up, they don't look at it.
That's right, because that's not the derech. That's against the derech. Off the derech, okay? If you off the derech. Okay, so that's their position. Now let's go to the other position. So again, we're going that Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi are like the what do they call them? Drumai, right? They're like the northern people. Now, what about Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? They hold it doesn't matter whether it becomes whether it comes back up to a kazayas. They look at it in its swollen state, right? So that would follow Rabbi Yirmiyah. How is that? This is not so simple. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiyah, this is a little bit of a stretch. The Gemara is trying to attach Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. How is it like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Again, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan say, if it was less than a kazayas, but it's swelled through rainwater to become a kazayas, your chayev is like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that something that was a grigris, since it was originally swollen, he's going to look at it now as if it's swollen now again, right? It emerges, right? That's what it says. Let's read it inside. They rule even these foods were not previously the size of kazayas. Their halachic status is determined by their present expansion. And they hold, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish hold that you're chayev if it became swollen, right? You look at it the way it is presently. So that's like Rabbi Yirmiyo, who judges the volume of a dried fig by its expanded state, not its shrunken state. Okay. That's not such a clear connection. You know, what does one thing have to do with the other? Do you understand that connection, right? Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? It's the line between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yirmiyo, it's not so clear over here. I don't really understand it so well. And I think it's important to get this part. So let's just say it again. So Rabbi Yirmiyo considers the dried fig as if it is full, even though it presently is not full. So what we do is we look at it as if it was expanded. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish seem to be saying a similar idea, that even though it originally was not the size of a kazayas, but now that it has rainwater and it is expanded, so that's you are chayiv. Well, I mean,
the question is, it never was a kazayas.
So what's the tushdel? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyo was talking about a case where it was originally a full fig, and now it's a grigris. So what's the shachas?
I think the one piece is that the difference between the nevela case and the grigris case is that that Rabbi Yirmiyo would say, I think everybody admits that the shrunken grigris is in a more developed stage in terms of eating. That's the final stage. That's a stage that's lishvach, lishavach, which has no shaychus with the whole idea of nevela. Nevela, you're not talking about a shevach case. What you're talking about is
you're being mechalek between them. At this point in the Gemara is saying that it's lishitasam.
I know, but you have to be mechalek at some point because of the point you're making. The obvious kasha is Rabbi Yirmiyo is dealing with something. Ba'asher Husham is small, not big.
Right.
How can you shtel it suit Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is talking about Ba'asher Husham is big? What shaychus do those two things have?
Right.
I think the answer is Gregris is always looked like as the big, according to Rabbi Yirmiyo, Gregris is because it's. It's the developed stage of eating a fig. In many senses, it's the right way to eat the fig. It's the more developed stage of eating a fig. That there's no problem with looking at it as if it's a full state. There's no question about that. The question is whether you have a right to say. Now it's small, and then it was big. And Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is saying, yeah, you have a right to say that. It has no shaykhs even with... That's what you get out of it.
Okay, I'm going to say it a little, just another kinesh to what you're saying.
I don't know if I'm making sense.
Another kinesh to what you're saying is that the response to their question that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyo were asking on Rabbi Yirmiyo, where they were saying that the direction of the natural flow is to go from full to dry and not dry to full. Rabbi Yirmiyo obviously is not bothered by that kasha. He holds, I don't care if it's not natural. If you can apply a svara of returning it to its full state, then we'll look at it as if it's full right now, even though it's not full right now by the gargaris. Or in the case of the kazayas of the nevela, even though it wasn't originally kazayas, now it's full. So even though that's not natural, because the natural is that it's going to shrink down even more until it becomes those dried out sticks that they sell in 7 Mile Market, whatever they're called. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
jerky. Yeah, the jerky stuff. So even though it's going the opposite direction, Rabbi Yirmiyo holds that's fine. So in that way, they're the same. I'm not looking at the natural progression of full to dry. I can even go up.
Isn't there the fact that when you look at food, it's a combination of two things? There's a solid and there's a moisture. And
there's the water content and the fruit content. Yeah, so?
So the fact that it has a certain size,
mm-hmm.
whether the water left naturally or comes back,
mm-hmm.
that's in essence the sheet says it's a material.
Well, and that's everybody agrees to if it was originally a kazayas.
So the vela also had that combination. There's mamashis and then there's moisture.
But it was originally less than a kazayas. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish holds that you're going to be chayiv, even though it's being expanded upon through an outside fluid.
Like Rabbi Yirmiyah.
And the Gemara wants to say that that's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay? So that's a review. What we've done till now is we've reviewed. Now we're going to start today's daf. This was the Hakdama, today's daf, okay? And it's already 20 minutes in, so I'm just, I hope you don't mind.
Don't worry, it's Mitzvah Shabbos.
Shabbos, and people shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't, I hope you don't have some place to go. Because
no, you're captive, and you can't go anywhere after this, and that's it.
That's right, and I'm locking the door, no one can leave. Okay, let's go on. Come on, Taninon. Now we're going to have a new approach, where you have other Amoraim arguing about another Mishnah, and it's going to give us a way of looking at this machlokas in a different way so that everybody could hold from everybody, something like that. Zakta Gemara. Tanantanin Amulai. They said to him, okay, let me tell you. We have to have a Hakdama over here. The Hakdama is in footnote 3, but I'm going to say it quickly. All menachas, I should say, all karbani mincha are Masa, they're not chametz, except for the Toida, which had 10 chalos, which were chametz, and the Shnele, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's two halachas you have to know. That is that the shear is the saron of flour, right? It can't be less, it can't be more. It means you have a measuring cup. You know, one of the klisharis in the Beis HaMikdash was an isaron, and you filled it with flour. Now, the problem is, flour, if you're just going to add water to it, it's not going to become chametz. So if I need chametz, what do I do? So there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir.
Wait a minute.
There's two approaches. Hold on a second. I'm talking about the ones that, let's say, you have to. Let's suppose it's a chametz type. The yeah. Ten lach
meitoga. Well, you said, sorry, doesn't make sense. If you add water to flour, it can become chametz.
Yeah, but not the kind of chametz that according to what you're just saying, there would never be a machlokas because all they'd have to do is add water and wait 18 minutes and you have chametz.
Right.
That's not challah that the Gemara. The Gemara does not consider that good enough. It has to be that it's a loaf. It can't be a dried out matzah. It has to be a loaf. Okay. If I were to bake 30 matzahs and 10 of the other kind, which you would let sit for 18 minutes, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. They'd all look like matzah to you. The Gemara wants it to be, I'm assuming that. I'm not holding a menachas, but that seems to be apparent from this machlokas. So it's a machlokas what to do. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have an argument. What's the Eitzah? So Rabbi Yehuda's Eitzah is, there's two possibilities. You could take out some of the flour from the Isaron measure, take out a handful of flour, put some water into it, knead it, and make it so it's going to become a little bit leavened, and then put that as a starter, it'll become like a starter thing, that I'll put that into the rest of the flour and it'll help make it become hummus. That's one Eitzah. So that's Minei Uvei. I've used the flour itself to make it become hummus. Or I could remove some flour. I go, look, I'm going to bring in, let's say it takes a kazayas of sourdough. I'll remove a kazayas of the flour. And I'll bring them some sourdough from another location, which is already well on its way, you know, it's a real starter, and I'll put that in its place. So that's the two ways we could do it. It's machlokas now. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's see, The mayor says to remove the portion, mix it with water. It's in number four. I said three, it's in four. Remove the flour and do it that way. Rabbi Huda says, no, that's not going to ferment properly, like you probably figured yourselves out on your own, that what how is that going to become fermented? You're going to wait? Like, how long are you going to wait? A half hour, an hour, 2 hours? I guess that's what the mayor assumed, that you'd wait a long time, and then you'd put it in there, and whatever. So Rameir is using the flour itself. Rabbi Huda is using an outside flour. Now we're going to read Rameir's taina on Rabbi Huda, why he feels you can't take something from the outside. Why can't you take something from the outside? Zot Rameir, Omuloi, Afi Hoysa Chasera or Yesera. That it's going to be undersized or oversized. Gemara is going to explain all these words. Just hold on. Mani Omulo, who's Omulo? That's Rameir. Pa'amim Shahasor, now we're going to explain it. Pa'amim Shahasor Yofu Hutafuach. That is to say, there are differing, assume this also, we have to assume that there are differing qualities of flour. Some flour will become chametz quicker and will have a rapid expansion, and an inferior type of a flour will take less, more time. So basically, in order to have a kazayas, let's say the shear was a kazayas, if I had a superior flour that made that outside kazayas of sourdough, what's going to end up happening is it took less flour than the kazayas of flour that I took out to use to replace it with the sourdough. In other words, if let's suppose I would do an experiment and I reverse chemical engineer that sourdough and extract all of the flour out of that sourdough and put it back in my Yisaron measure, would I have exactly the Yisaron that I started with? I'd have less because I have a superior flour that made this, which expanded rapidly, and therefore, because it was superior, I have a kazayas of superior dough, now putting that dough, that's taina number one. That's one possibility. That's the mayor's first taina. Okay, that's what he means. The sor will be very, expanded. But if it would be reversed back into flour, it would be less, right? It would be more compact. So it'll come out that you have less flour than you needed to. You have to have exactly a sum. You don't have your yisaron that you need. Now he's going to go the other way. It's also, there's another possibility. What? That sa'or was made out of an inferior flour than the flour I have in the yisaron. And then you have the other problem, that in order to create this kazayas of sourdough, I needed more flour than I would have needed had I used the flour that's in the Yisar measure. Basically, what he's saying is that it took more flour to make this Yisaron of to make this kazayas of sourdough. And if I would extract the flour, I would end up with more flour because it took more lousy flour or inferior flour to make this. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's your mayor's tinus. That's your mayor's tinus on Rabbi Yehuda. So you, Rabbi Yehuda, want to take something from the outside. I'm not going to end up with my exact share of the sorrow because I have a problem either to the expansion or to the reduction. Either way, it's going to be a problem. And for it to be exact is probably not going to be because you're taking it from a third place. Bishlam, according to me, I know I'm exact because I knew I took it from this flour that's in the Yisaron. So I'm working out well that it's exact. Okay. Now we have that. We have a way of thinking now. The Gemara is using this to give us a way of thinking. Now we're going to use this to demonstrate that Rabbi Yirmiyah's dispute versus Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi is not going to parallel Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish and the Dromaya. Now we're going to start the first Mahalach. Now we're on Chavdala. I should have said this before. We were on Chavdala Manalf. I may have forgotten to say it. We're on the bottom of Chavdala Manalf. Al Daite Dor Yirmiyah. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who judges the halachic status of dried figs according to their expanded state. Remember, he said that the pshat in Rabbi Yossi was that the ten figs were looked at as if they were full figs, and it had a halacha of midah, not a halacha of minyan, because he viewed the dried figs as if they were expanded. Oh, the Ramai, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlakish, Shloshan Amud Davar Echad B'Yaseiro. All three of them would say the same thing by the oversized mincha. Meaning, we're going to look at, read it inside now in the English. Its law demonstrates that where an item's expansion represents its natural state, its volume is judged by its expanded state. And it's for that reason that we judge an oversized mincha, meaning that tine of Reb Meir, that its natural state of the kezias was more than it would have been otherwise. Even the rabbis of the South agree in these cases, the item's volume is determined by its expanded state. The dispute with Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish concerns a case in which an item's expansion does not represent its natural state, meaning their machlokas is by kezias of nevela, where it was less than a kezias originally. And now it has outside fluids causing it to expand. That's a different shaila altogether. That's not the natural state of the kezias. The kezias nevela, its natural state is to be less than a kezias. It only became more than a kezias through the rain, which is unnatural. According to the rabbis of the South, the expansion that derives from the absorption of the rain is not significant. According to Rabbi Shlakish and Rabbi Yochanan, it is significant. All three agree, however, that when it comes to flour of an oversized mincha and dried figs, it is their expanded state that is halakhically significant. Their dispute does not parallel the dispute of Rabbi Yirmiyah versus Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, you go over it a few times, maybe you get it. I've gone over it three times already. I'm still 100%. I think I'm getting it. Okay, but that's the first. We're first explaining Reb Yirmiyah, the side of Reb Yirmiyah. Now we're going to turn the page, and we're going to go to the other side. What about Reb Yonah and Reb Yossi who disagree with Reb Yirmiyah? I'll die take Reb Yonah and Reb Yossi. Now, what do they hold? They hold that the halachic status of the dried fig is that it's dry. We look at it if it's dry. And Reb Yossi's reason for doing it is because he was only interested in minyan. He didn't care about midah. And he doesn't care that the coin gets ripped off a little bit in terms of his full volume, as Shamsi put it, a full fruit with its full fluid. But rather, even if it's a dried state, it doesn't make a difference. As long as he gets his 10 figs, that's all we're interested in. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yonah explaining Rabbi Yossi. Shloshan amud davar echad b'chaseira. So the rabbis of the South, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, said the same thing by the undersized mincha, namely, it demonstrates that absent evidence of actual and substantial expansion, meaning in the case where you had taken inferior flour, I think that's the shadow over here, we don't judge the volume of an item according to its expanded state. That's why the volume of an undersized mincha and figs that have shrunken is not by the food's expanded state, but by its reduced state. So even Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish can agree to that. As to their dispute with the Ramoi, that's talking about foods that expanded in the rain. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, an expansion by absorption of fluids constitutes an actual and substantial. According to the rabbis of the South, it does not. The dispute does not parallel. So the two machloksim have nothing to do with each other, basically, is what the Gemara is saying. Now the Gemara quotes an incident where they disputed the law of a food expanded through the absorption of water. Ilein devar pati bashlun b'oires. So there were people in Barpati's household. They cooked rice of tevel. Anshun misakno yosei. They forgot to fix it. They forgot to take, we'll just use our same case. They forgot to take trumas meiser. Whatever, they forgot to take off the trumas and the trumas meiser. So chavraya sovin meimar, they thought to say, yisav chai lulukava mavashal. They should take raw rice in a volume corresponding to that of the cooked rice, and take it. So that means means like this. What they were saying is like this. I don't know if you've ever guys have ever cooked rice before. Okay. It really expands. I mean, if you take a container of a cup of rice and pour it into a big pot of water, The whole pot will fill with rice, even though at the beginning it looked like it was just on the bottom. It expands and expands and expands. So it literally will go five times its original size, at least minimum. So now, let's just use an example. I started off with one cup of rice. I ended up with five cups of cooked rice. So now, and I forgot to take off the trumas and maizes, right? So what are you?
Take Kenega the five, Kenega the one.
So what am I going to do? Do I take Kenega the one or Kenega the five? So they thought, you take Kenega the five. You take Kenega the five, right? So because in the scholar's view, an expansion induced by the absorption of liquid is significant. It's legally significant, meaning now I've got five cups of tevel. I don't have one cup of tevel. I have five cups of tevel. So the cooked rice, whose absorbed water causes the volume to expand, is judged by its current volume, right? Three. Does he say anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. He just gives the example. And he says, this follows the view of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. That's exactly what they said, right? They said if you had less than a kazayas of nevela, and you added water to it, it became a kazayas yachayev. That's much what they were thinking, right? Rabbi Yossi, the Amara said, no, ofano Amar Kain, I too would say this, lamasha darko litpayach, regarding to something where the natural way is for it to expand. But this does not include rice, which expands only through the absorption of water that you added. It's not legally significant. I don't know what naturally would expand. I don't know exactly what he has in mind.
So why should it not be the nevela? The nevela also is not a natural expansion.
Well,
yes, the nevela, when the nevela eats, when the behema eats.
No, we're talking about a dead piece of meat.
Rabbi Yossi is, let me just make.
A dead piece of rice also when it's detached. Yeah.
Rabbi Yossi.
The rice is attached, it's not getting bigger.
The footnote says that Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. He's not going to hold like them. They held Yochayiv even if it was less than a kazayas originally and expanded to a kazayas. He held, no, that's not true. He's going to argue with them. Okay, that's what it says over here. According to Rabbi Yossi, expansion achieved through absorption of fluid is not deemed significant. It does not represent the rice's natural state. So Rabbi Yossi disputes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Okay? There's an alternate shot over here, but I'm not going to go into it right now. Okay, so that's what we have over here. It looks like we have a machlokes. Do we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish or not? That seems to be the machlokes over here. Okay, let's go on. This Gemara obviously needs Chazara, and maybe use a chart, and maybe work through the Svaris. But I'm not. You're not going to get charts out of me. I don't know what charts.
Key of the of a story, Shlaimi.
Yes.
That piece of Gemara immediately before the story, where it says Shloshlam Kaldaite and Shloshdun Amru Devar Echad, that these machlokes are not tully each other.
Yes.
Story indicates they are tully in each other, and that we're if you pask in one way, you're pasking against Rish Lakish.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
you're
I think
right.
That story, it looks to me like that story is falling away from the intermediate Gemara, but I didn't learn it enough.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's an excellent point. You hear what he's saying? We just finished saying a whole Gemara to show that the Machlokes are independent, but now we're showing that the Nevela, Shaila, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are totally in this case by the rice where it's expanded. So it is totally in each other. So. Okay, so you're right, absolutely right. There are other ways to learn this Gemara. There's the Vilna Gaon has a whole different way of learning the Gemara. And look at Reb Chaim, and I think I heard people say that Reb Chaim has a different mouth. Whatever. This is the way we learned it is the Mara Fulda's way of learning the Gemara. And we're going to leave it at that. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, this is a relatively straightforward. This Mishnah is about we're going to have examples of this. Tomen zei say shemen al zei say kevesh. You take oil, olive oil, I'm thinking Popeye. Oil, olives, You take oil olives of truma on behalf of pickling olives. But you don't do the other way. You don't do zeise kevesh al zeise shemen. Why? Because it apparently those are better tasting olives. Okay, now you have to be careful. Yeah, you have to be careful here. Because remember we said earlier in the Masechta that if it's oil olives that you're going to press, before you press them, they zloy nigmar malachdom, and you can't be mafresh from them. So but here the Mara is saying that you're taking the oil olives and you're doing the hafrasha. So the footnote points out, we're talking about, obviously, you're not going to be using them for oil. They're an oil olive that you're going to use for achila with your hummus. Okay? So, and it's a better quality than the cheap stuff that you buy in the jar. Okay? Good. In the can, whatever you have, you buy it. The yayin shenu mevushal al-mevushal. You take wine which has not been cooked on wine that has been cooked. Apparently, the uncooked wine is a better quality, right? L'mevushal al-mevushal shenu mevushal, not the other way around. He points out here, and this is an important point in the English at the top. MK Entertainment is calling me. Who's that? I don't know who MK Entertainment is. It looks very interesting. I'm going to have to turn it down. Okay. Who that was? Okay. Anyway, so it says that it's on the record. I was going to answer the phone, but I decided not to. Maybe it's Barbara Streisand calling me to make a donation to the yeshiva. I don't know. In both cases, the superior product is chosen as truma over the longer-lasting one, okay? So when you boil wine, the wine will last longer. Obviously, you're stopping the fermenting process when you boil it. It kills the fermenting bacteria, right? Organisms. So, and what's the other case? The other case was the olives, right? The olives, which are kevesh, which pickled, the pickled olives will last forever. You know, who knows how long they'll last. Okay.
Purim to Purim,
for sure. So, now, Zahaklal, Kolshu Klein, Bechaveroi, Lo Yitum Yizazah. This is going back in the previous Mishnah about the minim, that you can't do one min on an enum min. The rule is, if it's Klayim, then you can't take it from one on the other. Obviously, they're two minim. Afilo and Ayafel Hara, even if though it's a better one on the worst one, obviously, they're not the same min. If it's not good, if it's not climb, one and the other, so then they are in the same group, right? Then Tarmana Yofa al Hara. Then you could take the preferable way to do it is to take the better one. Lomina Rala Yofa. Vim Tarmana Rala Yofa. But if you did, if you were over on the din of Rala Yofa, what's the din? Truma say Truma. It's going to be good by the Yavin. Chutzmana Zunim al Achitim, except there's one exception, and we've had this earlier in other Masechtas, which is called the old friend, what we call, I think I brought in an actual picture, if you recall, I brought in a picture of Darnell. It's called Darnell. It's a type of a unedible, I'll call it a weed, that grows next to the wheat. It looks very similar to the wheat, but it's actually not edible. So there, even though it's not climb, right, Darnell is not climb with wheat, but you can't be mafresh one or the other because it's not even an oichel adam. That's the Mishnah said it. Shein oichel. The darnel is not a food. V'hakisha samalafafon min echad. When it comes to the chait melon and the musk melon, he has different translations below. It could be watermelon, could be cantaloupe, different translations, whatever it is. They are one species. It could be cucumbers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shnei minim, they are two different species. And they cannot be, can be mafresh one or the other. So let's go on. Zok dugmar mebyarkanon drab Yehudahi. So, Rabbi Yekin has said, the yesod of our Mishnah, remember we just had a machlokas early in the previous Mishnah, that if you had a large onion and a small onion, the large onion is the better quality onion, but if you're going to be mafresh from it, you're going to cut it in half because you don't need to give a whole onion. But if you're going to cut it in half, it's not going to last as long. Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't matter if it's not going to last as long. Main thing I'm interested in is quality. If I have good quality, it's good, but the chachamim hold on, you go boss or what? Go baser shelf life. The longer the shelf life, so the whole onion, even though it's not as good as a large onion, but it's complete. And since the shlemus has longer shelf life, right, more durability to shlemus, so that's what we prefer. That's the hachamim. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying our Mishnah, which prefers quality over durability, is obviously the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's Pasha. Now we're on Chaf Hei Yom Aleph, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda Mater. We're talking about another case, Neshu Mashmichal. This is referring to the following Mishnah, later on in the 11th parak, I believe it is. In the 11th parak, it says the following. A person should, the Mishnah, Tanakama says, a person should, the Argirsa, I don't know why, I have something going on with my tongue tonight, so I don't sound exactly right. You'll excuse me. I think I have to go on a diet. My tongue has gotten too fat from my mouth. That a person should not boil up wine. That's truma. Why? What's going to happen? When you boil truma, that's wine, it vaporizes. So you're being mafsid the truma. How can you boil wine and cause truma to reduce the wine?
Better quality,
but you're increasing the concentration. Yeah, so okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda says, it says this is the girsa that says in the Mishnah before that Rabbi Yochanan plays with the girsa. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do it. Why? It improves it.
Right, you're concentrating
it.
The Mishnah said
that it's better.
Oh, so that's so.
That's the problem.
Oh, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem. Oh, you're asking that we're getting two different mixed messages here. One is saying that it's improving the quality. One is saying it's reducing the quality. We're not focused so much on that steer. We're looking more at Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seemed to be more interested in.
Quality.
Oh no, quality is one second. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You said it right. So, because Rabbi Yehuda in both cases are going both are quality. Correct. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan, to answer the question, says, Mechafar Shitase, the Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is reversed. In other words, what you have to say is you have to put Rabbi Yehuda in the Tanakhama of that Mishnah. That it's Rabbi Yehuda who says you can't boil the wine because it's going to cause it to reduce in volume, and it's the other shita, Bar Pulkta, who holds you can cook it. Hold on a second.
Then it's going to be contradiction in the Tanakhama.
Hold on one second. I'm getting confused over here. One second. One more time. Let me look at footnote 2. One may not cook wine of truma, for he thereby reduces it. Rabbi Yehuda permits it because it improves it. Rabbi Yochanan is troubled by apparent contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda's statement there and his ruling here, which rests upon the assumption that wine is made less palatable through cooking, not more. Right? That was the steerer you mentioned.
That was the old one.
That's the steerer we mentioned to resolve the difficulty. So he reverses the Mishnah's attributions.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda is going to prohibit the cooking wine, while the Tanakhama is going to permit it. Now, one second. Now the Gemara is going to explain how the loss of palatability is implied in the Mishnah statement that through cooking one reduces the wine. I'm still not clear about this. It's still going to end up that someone is saying that cooking wine improves it, which seems to contradict this. That seems to me to be a scientific fact. Does cooking wine improve it, or does it not improve it? It doesn't seem to be.
Improves it.
So then how could... Okay. So, in other words, everybody agrees. I'm sorry. That's right. So that works. So everybody agrees that it improves it. I'm slow over here. Everybody agrees that cooking the wine improves it. There's one outside concern that is causing it to go reduce in volume.
Correct.
So there's the Baal Plugde of Rabbi Yehuda holds that outside concern is overriding concern, even though cooking is going to improve it, but I've got an overriding concern that I'm reducing its volume. Right. And therefore, that's the Bar Plugta, after the reversal of Rabbi Yochanan, is going to say that you cannot cook it. No, he's... No. He said... Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says... Well, you're saying Rabbi...
That's what... The question is, do you want the better quality wine, or do you want more wine? That's my focus.
The question is, which one is more precise?
No.
The question is more reflective?
No. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says,
Shlomi, take a look at the Marapul.
Why am I getting so confused over here?
Shlomi.
What?
Take a look at the footnote to the second one, the bracketed one.
Yeah.
That's why you're getting confused. Take a look at the bracket, the small one.
Yeah.
It appears from my Rough folder, Rabbi Yochanan's claims is not that the Mishnah's attributions are reversed, not that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion has been reversed. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that cooking is detrimental to wine, as implied in our Mishnah. Rather, he holds the wine is improved by cooking, as per the Mishnah below.
Which Mishnah below?
So one second. That's Perek Yud Aleph. Uh-huh. So let's get this straight again. So our Mishnah says that you cannot be mafresh from cooked wine on non-cooked wine, even though cooked wine is going to last longer. Rabbi Yochanan say that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds we don't care about longer lasting. We're more interested in quality. And quality is uncooked wine. That's what...
Quality is cooked wine.
Hold on a second. I'm learning our mission that we just read.
Uncooked.
You cannot be mafresh from cooked wine on uncooked wine, because that's a reduction in quality.
Right.
Shelf life, it's going to last longer. But quality in our Mishnah, the better quality wine is the one that's not cooked. That's what we said in our Mishnah. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said was the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who goes buster quality over shelf life. We have that straight. Again, one more time. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you go buster quality. The Mishnah, therefore, that says that you use uncooked wine to be mafresh truma, holds that the better quality is uncooked wine. Now we have a Mishnah in Perek Yud Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you can cook wine, mnei mashbicho. That's a reversal of what he said in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, he's saying that uncooked wine is better quality. And that Mishnah, he seems to be saying, it's a better quality if it's cooked. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Michlofa Shitase. So what exactly the Pshat Michlofa Shitase is? It could be the way he starts off is that we're reversing the Shitas. Rabbi Yehuda never said that you can cook it because it's Mashbichoi. He never said that. There was another Shita. That was a Tanakama that said that. Rather, he said what? You can't cook the wine because it's causing it to go down. So... Right. Okay, so we'll stop it right there. So we've been Miyashev Rabbi Yehuda's stira. Okay, let me go on. I'm just going to go around in circles over here. Rabbi Lazar disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan's switch. Rabbi Lazar, I'm Eino Machlefes. You can learn differently than Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because that mission in Perek Yud Aleph is talking about the Kohen. Taman b'Kohen. Of course, what is the Kohen's main concern? He has truma. He wants it to last as long as he can. I get truma at the time of the harvest, and it's got to last me until the next harvest. I'm interested in shelf life. So the Mishnah says you can do it because you're going to want it to last longer, right?
So you're not going to cook it.
So you are going to cook it because it lasts longer. So mashbicho doesn't. So mashbicho doesn't mean it makes it taste better. It means it's going to be better. It's going to be longer as far as his concerns are. That's what it means.
The Khan.
We're talking our Mishnah. We're talking about the Bailam. The program of the people who are being mafresh the truma. So for him, the shavach is what's better quality, right? And cooked wine is inferior to uncooked wine. So that's his, Rabbi Elazar is getting out of the stira without having to be machlef any shitas. Okay?
So we're saying cooked wine is inferior to uncooked?
Yes.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, let's go on here. They disagreed to the meaning of the statement, Chad Amam Neshim Amatoy Mishaisov. Okay, remember it said you couldn't do it because you're making it reduced. What does it mean reduced? So I told you it meant it was reducing it in volume. They're going to say, Neshim Amatoy Mishaisov, those who will drink the wine. It adversely affects the taste, so they're connoisseurs who will no longer drink this wine. It's inferior. Chad Amam Neshim Amatoy Midoso, which is the way we originally learned, that it's taking down its volume, it evaporates. Now, so Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan had a machlokas between themselves what the pshat and amatai meant. Lo yada mano mado, mano mado. We don't know who said what. But now, min mando amar Rabbi Yochanan mefuchav shitas in Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we have this statement of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yochanan switching Rabbi Yehuda's shita, lo amar Rabbi Elazar and mechlefes. So we can derive from that who says what. Taman b'koyin become a bialim. So have they, we can derive Rabbi Yochanan who Yomam and Neshem Matam Yishayisov. We can see that it was Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Elazar who said that you are reducing the numbers of those who will drink the wine. How do you see that? Seven. Let's see. According to Rabbi Yochanan who compares the two Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda's ruling in the later Mishnah is analogous to his ruling in our Mishnah, in that both rulings are due to the damage that results when the wine is cooked. Rabbi Yehuda's Yisrael on a Kohen to cook Truma wine and his prohibition for Yisrael to separate cooked wine is the same idea. In the later Mishnah, the damage inherent in cooking wine is referred to as he reduces it. If the reduction in the wine's volume is not, reduction in volume, it's not relevant to the Yisrael prohibition to designate this wine as truma, because the designation takes place after it's been cooked. And so that will not be a loss in volume to the Kohen. So it must be that reduces it means reducing the number of people who will drink it. Thus, the damage wrought by cooking affects the wine's quality and is therefore relevant to both of Yehuda's rulings. Kontrabalazar, the reduces it, refers to the volume. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Imi b'shem Rish Lakish neshematim yishaisav. This is like a psak that it means is reducing those who drink it. Matzisa plinkar Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah, here's a brisa that argues on Rabbi Yochanan. V'yaf min ha-mavushal al she'enu mavushal. You can't separate from something which is cooked on behalf of uncooked wine. The kosher cane mishenu mavushal al mavushal, and certainly, in other words, if you're saying af, I'm sorry, you can, right? I'm sorry, let me say it again. Va'af min ha-mavushal al she'enu mavushal. You can separate truma even from cooked wine on uncooked wine. And kol she'kein from enu mavushal al mavushal, you surely can separate the cooked one because that's a better quality. That's Rabbi Yehuda's, the people who argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Why is that following that? Because, it permits it. Because it's. In other words, if you're judging one over the other, they're basically equivalent. You don't care whether
it doesn't reduce.
You can take it in either direction.
Does it get a drink at different?
They're allowing it because they're not interested in the fact that it's a higher quality. Right? They're interested in shelf life. Okay. Yet it implies that cooked wine is inferior to uncooked. Because, what does it say? Because it says kol she'kein, right?
Yeah.
It says kol she'kein einu mavushal ala mavushal, so obviously the uncooked is better. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yehuda's people who are chaylik on him, they hold cooked wine as superior. So the Brisa contradicts Rabbi Yochanan. That's the kasha of the Gemara. The Brisa seems to indicate that those who argue on Rabbi Yehuda hold that it is better. The cooked wine is superior. Amar Rabbi Imi, Leitani Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a very convenient answer. We're on 25b. He's not garish this. He's not garish. He's told this price is not reliable. Rabbi Yochanan holds that price is not reliable. I'm Rabbi Bar Kahana, Rabbi Rebbe. Losisolov Tate. Okay, so how do you know what? That if you went ahead and you were mafresh that which is not so good on that which is good, that it is good truma, even though you violated the rule, in Aral HaYofa, it's good with the Evid, because it says, don't do inferior on superior, because if you'll do it the right way, lo tzisa all of chet, you won't have a sin. Now, if you're going to tell me that if you do it the wrong way, that it's not going to be a good truma, so you don't have any sin because you didn't accomplish anything, right? If it's possible with the Evid, you took truma, you Aral HaYofa, and you're going to tell me that it's not good truma, there's no chet, because there is no truma here. So only if you do it right, then it's good. So then the pasuk by saying, lo tzis olav chet, that teaches me that b'di'evah, that it's good. It was a chet, but it's good, right? That's the Gemara's idea here. Since the fact is that it's going to be a chet. Okay, chutzman hazunim, except for what? Inferior, hadavar shu oichal mutter, but if it is food, then it would be considered truma as long as it is the same species. What would that be? That would be like wine vinegar on regular wine. So masisin Rabbi Shmuel ber Biyasi, Rabbi Shmuel ber Biyasi b'shem Aviv, tarmin min hayayin al chametz, avolam min chametz alayin. You can take wine on behalf of vinegar that's considered one species, but not from vinegar on wine. Because it's inferior.
Quality,
it's inferior quality. Offer of a Torah, Shumas a Chuma, like we always said, but the evidence is good. Rabbi Yoimer, he disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, that what? Yain Mechamet, Shnei Minim, those are really two different things. Ain't Torah Lama Asher Mizal Zet, you cannot take from one on the other. Let's see. So we see Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, considers vinegar wine to be single species. Blah, 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 blah. Now, the Gemara rejects this assertion and demonstrates, so our Mishnah could even come out like Rebbe Yehuda Shmuel ben Levi, Mestava Yod Rebbe L'dvar Torah. That could be that Rebbe agrees that min ha-Torah, that they tackle all the same species. My time with the Rebbe, but it's only the Rabbanan. Why? Why is he asrit min Rabbanan? Sha'imer ad kain, if the rabbis were afraid that if you're going to allow what to be Torah, min ha-yayin ala-chaymetz, people are going to think that you can go either direction. So there's a particular reason, I guess, over here that they were afraid of this. I don't think, I mean, Rebbe agrees by all other halachas.
Well, we had in the Mishnah education where you can only go one way. Right?
Why? I'm trying to understand why is it.
This is a common challenge. Wine turning into vinegar.
Yeah.
So, and they're in barrels, and it's convenient if you could do one to the other. And there's a yachid.
So that's why he says here you can go both ways.
I'm just saying, I don't think that Rebbe disagrees with the din that b'di'evad, if you do an aral ayofa, that's good truma. It's specific. In other words, over here, Rebbe is saying that yayin and climates are shnei minim. It's not like just aral ayofa. The Rabbanim were more machmer about this. And why were they more machmer? Because they're afraid if you're going to allow yayin ala chametz, then you're going to end up being allowing chametz ala yayin.
But you're allowed.
But why is he all of a sudden worried about min ara ala yofa? What's the mikshol?
The mikshol is that they're going to think that it's...
You're going to do ara ala yofa. And I'm just saying, so why isn't he worried all the time about Rala Yopa?
Yayin HaChaimetz it's a very commonplace thing for Yayin to become Chaimetz. They're in
so
the same
therefore
barrels.
But it's, even though it's common, it's still Rala Yopa, clearly, no?
Of course it's Rala Yopa. Of course.
But he's never worried about other Rala Yopas.
Because it's more common, Yayin and Chaimetz, in terms of those two species. Rala Yopa is a very common thing.
According to Rebbe, it's two separate minim, he said.
But min Rabbanan. Min HaTorah, Rebbe is Maida.
Yeah.
Okay. Hakishos. That's what I said.
It's easy to go back and forth. Yes, because wine that goes bad isn't called vinegar until it goes to vinegar, but it's bad wine.
Yeah.
So you can have...
There's a gray area.
Yeah.
Okay. Like here says, "Halacha min ha'echad, Hudaimer it's shneimin." Rabbi Huda will date, Rabbanan can date. He's according with his opinion. Stated elsewhere, Rabbanan like their opinion because it says, "Tamon." The Mishnah over there, 11. Where is that? It's in Yerushalmi Klayim 1:2. Okay, whatever it says over there. Hakisha so Hamalafa phone Elam Klayim Zebazeh. Rabbi Huda Aimer Klayim. We apparently had this, if you remember it, that are they Klayim with each other? The Chatanakama holds they're not. And Rabbi Yehuda holds they are clearly they are going l'shitasam that they are two sheet they are two minim hajan aloch ain tormin.
So lemaisa, is it a heder to make kiddush
on wine? Oh, very good. So now the question, this is the $1 million question. Aloch lemaisa. What the question is? What are you?
Should you make kiddush?
Maybe I should go out of my way to make kiddush on yain mavushal. Because Mavushal, we said, is a superior wine.
You know, to me, it's totally unclear whether cooking the wine is better or worse. We've been going back and forth.
Hold on one second. No.
Yes.
Hold on one second. Let's first.
Better quality wine.
What wine is better quality?
Cooked wine is more concentrated. It should be better.
No, it's a shelf life.
The wine is inferior.
Hold on a second. Before we go, let me just.
I just want to say one thing.
No, I want to say one thing. First of all, I just want to review very briefly. So what we said, we had two Mishnayos. One Mishnah, the Mishnah in Perek Yud Aleph said very clearly, very, like mamish, black on white, that you can cook it because it makes it better.
Right.
Right? Now, was that the Shita of Shitas Yochid? Or was it the Shita of the Rabbim? It's Mikla for Shitas. We had two different ways to learn it.
Or what's better? Better could be shelf. Or
was, according to the Mahalach Rabbi Lazar, it was a Shiloh of the Kohen. So it was a Kohen's preference. So even though it says it's better, it's not clear what that meant exactly. Our Mishnah, which Rabbi Yochanan said very clearly, that you are mafresh the better wine on the inferior wine. The inferior wine is the Mavushal wine. That's the inferior wine. That was clearly stated in our Mishnah.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, so let's cut to the chase. In Siman Reish Ayin Beis Hilchos Shabbos. Those are Eze Min Yayin Mekachin. So over there it says, the Mechaber says, Mekachin on Yayin Mavushal, it's no problem. And then he says, Yeshoimrim, it's better not to. Yeshoimrim, better not to.
Not to use Yayin Mavushal,
yeah. And therefore, there are those who are Machmir, and they buy Yayin, it's not Mavushal. But it's clearly, that's by the way, the Yeshomrim is the Shittas HaRamam. The Ramam holds, you're not supposed to use Yayin Mavushal. But the first Shita in the Mechaber is other Paiskim. So it's a Shaila. This is a big Shaila in the Paiskim. What?
What does the Ramam say over there?
I don't know what the Ramam says.
Because that's what
we've asked him on. The Ramah doesn't have to necessarily comment on a machlokas that the Mechaber quotes.
But he usually does.
In a machlokas, the Mechaber? I don't remember. I'm going to take a look. I don't want to paskin anyway. I'm not paskin. I'm just giving you a marmokum. I'm not totally not paskin anything over here. Just ayin shom, and you'll see.
So what's the Mechaber of the Mechaber?
Why is it better?
Yeah.
Is it because of the shelf life or because of the taste? And is every wine the same?
If it's based on taste, it becomes stronger.
What do you think? Sweet, do you have an opinion as to whether cooked wine is better or not better?
I think that the non-Mavushal stuff they say is better. It works out well if you don't have a cleaning lady in your house, though.
Yes.
It's a serious problem.
That is definitely a problem.
And when you have a restaurant or whatever.